This is not a love story. This is a story about love.
Love is the beginning. Maybe it all starts with beauty. That first instant where you witness something new outside of yourself. It could be a person, or a work of art, or a song, or simply something in nature. But I think it starts for all of us when we're kids. It's in our innocence that we find love. Or quite possibly, love infuses itself into us because of our innocence. Maybe that's what people mean when they say love at first sight, an unexplained moment in which a person feels suspended in disbelief at something that makes them feel complete. I was 6 years old when I saw two people in a beautiful moment. It was the scene in West Side Story, the movie. The scene where Maria and Tony see each other at the dance. And granted, the scene was given its own taste of cinematic magic. All I saw were two people coming to an understanding silently. And this scene could be one of those mushy scenes that many people turn away from and disregard for its cliché demeanor. And that's fine, because scenes like that aren't meant for everybody. Nobody finds love the same way, and that's probably the most beautiful thing about it. I remember wondering what it'd be like, wondering if I'd ever be able to find something like that, a moment so true, a moment so life-changing, that nothing else before it seems to matter. Now, there were multiple times where I thought I found that moment, only to realize in the end I had simply fallen victim to the optimistic nature of my imagination. The first time I thought I was in love, I was in kindergarten. I was 5 years old and absolutely adorable. At least I'd like to think so. Reason being was because I couldn't properly pronounce my Y's, but only when the Y came at the beginning of a word. Which, now that I think about it, is even weirder. My teachers and my family loved to tell me to say any word that began with a Y. The color yellow was their favorite. Can you pass me the lelo crayon, please? I never really understood why they laughed. But they called me cute, so I was all right with it. The first girl to take my breath away, the first young lady to steal my heart, was Bree. She was slightly taller than me, had curly, light brown hair that she wore in a ponytail most of the time, fair skin, and hazel eyes. But I think the thing that I liked most about her were her freckles. Her freckles weren't visible often. She had to stand in just the right light, but when she did, it was like a curtain opening up on stage. You knew there was something there, but you weren't sure what it was. Her freckles, to me, made her beautiful. The thing about Bree, though, is she was tough. She had a cute laugh, and it matched her appearance. She was very cute and almost innocent looking. But at heart, she was a tomboy. And I think now, all the boys liked her for it. We would spend our time running around, playing, coloring. I guess she was my first friend. And she wasn't shy to tell me that she liked me better than all the other boys. You're quiet. And cute, she told me. And what do you say when a girl says that to you when you're 5 years old? I think I just smiled and shrugged. And Bree had this way of making me play even when I didn't feel like playing. She had this way of taking me out of my shell. But I think one of the best things we did together was take naps. When nap time came around, she always put my nap mat next to hers. And we held hands as we slept. When I was with Bree, nothing else mattered. One morning, after my mom dropped me off, some of the boys came up to me asking if I wanted to play. You want to play a game? No, thanks. I just want to go color. Come on, it'll be fun. We can pretend to be Power Rangers. I don't want to. Just come on. I don't want to. Excuse me, please. No. Play with us. Or do you only want to play with Bree? I just want to color. Please, blue guys, let me go inside. All the kids knew I had a hard time saying certain words. But that morning, those group of boys showed me that being different was a bad thing. They pushed me around in a circle, taking turns to mock the way I talk. But then one of them pulled instead of pushed, and I fell and dropped my lunchbox. I can still hear the clang of my metal Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle lunchbox hitting the ground. The top flew open, and my lunch fell everywhere. And the boys either didn't notice or didn't care. They just continued to make fun of me and danced around and trampled my lunch. My juice box was the last thing to get stepped on. And that was the only thing that hit me in the face. Suddenly they stopped. They stopped making fun of me, they stopped dancing. And I figured maybe it was a teacher who had seen and spooked them, or another kid's parents coming over to see what was going on. I would have accepted any kind of saving grace. And as I laid there, wiping the mixture of sand and juice from my eyes, I looked up and I saw Bree walking by. Quinn, the leader of the group, turned and smiled at her, and she smiled back. She was friendly like that, and I knew she had other friends, so it didn't bother me. But when Bree looked down at me, she smirked. I'll never forget that feeling. And I wish I could say that was the last time I felt it. And then the bell rang, and the boys ran inside as well as all the other kids. And before I knew it, I was the only one left outside. I sat there on the ground, collecting the two pieces of my lunch that I still had left, my baby carrots, and the other half of my peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And then I walked inside, walked into the bathroom, and started to clean myself up. And as I did, I couldn't help but wonder what I might have done wrong to have things be different between Bree and I. I couldn't help but wonder about Bree and Quinn's shared smiles. And then I remember thinking, looking in the mirror and asking, was what they shared better than any of the moments she and I had on the playground, and more specifically at nap time? By next week, Bree had gone through two more boys, and my Y mispronunciations were gone completely.